Music tonight was a real blessing to my soul. Appreciate that last song so much. It's a song I come to in my own life quite often. And praise the Lord for the amazing grace of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And we're going to look at verses 3 down to verse number 12. And we're going to examine tonight a topic that perhaps a little different in some people's minds, but I want to examine preaching and the preacher. We go back while you're finding your spot there. We find the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Ephesians, that he talks about the armor that they are to put on. And then he says, after that, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He had a desire to preach the word of God. Well, let's look in 1 Thessalonians now, chapter number 2. And we'll start reading in verse number 3. It says, for our exhortation was not in deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to have the word of God. Lord, sometimes we take it with a grain of salt. Sometimes we're not real serious, but oh God, thank you tonight for your word. We find the words of man are temporary. We find that often they're filled with deceit. But, Lord, we know that thus saith the Lord is true. It brings us everlasting life. So we thank you for that. We pray that you might bless tonight as we look at this thing called preaching. Lord, that we might understand some things about that and we might be able to use it practically in our lives. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, let me get something straight right away, and that is, I'm a pastor of a church, but we all are to preach the gospel. I find the great commandment tells us that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And you say, I'm a woman, I don't preach the gospel. You can tell other women and people about Jesus Christ, amen? And because preaching is basically foretelling of a truth. When you mention the word preaching or preacher, there are a number of things that come to the mind, come to different minds, really. Some people, when they think of preaching, they focus upon the style. Others look for someone who has a lot of excitement and what seems like enthusiasm. A few listen very intently, and others hear but don't really listen. Then there's always, it seems like, one that listens to criticize. Perhaps it's to take the heat off of themselves. I find that there are thousands of people. I've run into so many through my lifetime as a pastor and even before that as a saved person. The use of the excuse of not attending preaching was because somewhere someone offended them. You go to church long enough and somebody, some preacher is going to offend you. I remember years ago, Brother Kimmel came to our church year after year after year. Some of you here do not know him. Others know him. He was a tremendous blessing in our church. Introduced us to Faith Promise Missions Offering. He practiced, by the way, what he preached. And we thank the Lord for those days. But I remember very well, one of our ladies came to me one day and she said, "You know, every time Brother Kimmel comes, he makes me mad." Brother Kimmel was kind of caustic in his approach, and he'd say things pretty sharply. And she said, "Every time he comes, he makes me mad." But then I stop and think about it, and I have to say, hey, he's telling the truth. And she could have been offended and just walked away, but that was not the case. One who preaches is one who proclaims the truth. Now, a gospel preacher is one who preaches the truth about Christ, and he brings good tidings. In Isaiah chapter 61, it says in verse 1, it's actually a prophetic statement, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." If we go back just a little ways in the book of Romans, we find a tremendous verse. In verse 13 says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know what the next verse says? "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" You know, somehow today, people have the idea that faith is some abstract idea. But faith is actually believing what somebody has said. And for a Christian, that means we're believing what God has said. We're listening to him. We're hearing what he said. We are believing it. And so if somebody doesn't hear it, they can't believe it. And so what's our job? We are to tell people. Now let's think about a few important elements in preaching that both the preacher and, for alliteration's sake, I use parishioners should know. Some things we need to know. And there's a reason I'm doing this, and it really goes back there to Ephesians when Paul said that they might pray for him, that he might have utterance. He might speak forth the word of God with boldness. And so as you stop and think about church, you stop and think about the preaching that's from a pulpit, there's some things that I think would be helpful to you as you pray for this preacher or any others. But not only that, I believe it's important as we pray for each other in our proclaiming of Christ. I want us to look at the manner of preaching. I say matter, M-A-T-T-E-R. In Isaiah 1, we saw there where it said to preach the good tidings, to proclaim liberty. If you and I are going to proclaim liberty, then we must give out the truth. Because I find in John chapter 8, it says in verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth," and what is it? "The truth shall make you free." So what is the need in the lives of people? They need to hear the truth. And so the matter, that material that we use, is the truth of God's word. Now there's something we know from the word of God, and that is there is power in preaching. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, it says, "For the preaching of the cross of them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Now, I'm not talking about a powerful preacher. I'm talking about a powerful cross. Now, that person needs to be in touch with God, but the real power lies in the Lord. And you and I tonight, as we preach to others, we have an authority. And that authority is the Word of God. And that's what we must proclaim. Now, too often, I've been guilty of this, we preach our opinions, no matter how lofty they are. I've known times when I had an opinion about something, and I had me a sermon, and I had to go find me a text to go with the sermon. And so you search and search, and sometimes you don't come up with the right stuff. But that's not what it's about. Now, nothing wrong in giving opinions. I'm sure every person that I know has an opinion about something. And when you stand before people, it's not your opinion that helps them, though sometimes it helps them to understand the truth. But they need to know that it's an opinion. Let me give you an illustration tonight. I've been asked this question on numerous occasions. Was Judas saved? Was Judas saved? That's like some people ask, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, you know, the Bible, he created animals, didn't create eggs. Anyways, never mind. Was he saved? Well, some say no, because it is said in the Word of God that he had a devil, and devils aren't saved. But others say yes, because Jesus said that none were lost but the son of perdition. Now, there's a problem we have when we come to our opinions. Sometimes an opinion on this probably doesn't really make a big difference in the overall scheme of things. But the problem is also we can become very prideful, believing we have greater insight than somebody else. That's a real problem in our age today, as people are always trying to find some little different key to be different, and that they might, I think, have controlling power on others. So what's the matter of our preaching? The matter is our Bible. It is the Word of God. And so we thank the Lord we can pick it up, and in these verses here, we can find out some things about preaching. We can find out from this that the Apostle Paul talks about how he was gentle among them. And he says, like a nurse who cherished their children. In the next verse, he talks, because you were dear unto us. The manner of preaching. What is that? Well, I believe innate is the desire to see positive changes in lives. Jesus and John the Baptist preached repentance. What's repentance? A change of mind, going away from sin and unto God. We find the risen Christ became the preaching in Acts and thereon forward. Acts 17, verse 3 says, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. That was the Apostle Paul. Now, as we think about the manner of preaching, what do we want? We want to see some changes, but we're also going to find that there are different styles from one person to another. No two people are alike. Think about this for a moment. Moses was slow of speech. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 through 12 says, Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hitherto nor since thou hast spoken to thy servant, but I am of slow speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb or deaf or seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. He had a problem with speech, and he didn't think he thought real fast and so forth, and he talked real slow. We find in the book of Acts, there was a man by the name of Apollos. And we learn there in verse number 24 of chapter 18, a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. He had an eloquence about him. He was different than Moses. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, the Apostle Paul describes himself, and he says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. There's different styles. Some are loud, some are soft. Some talk fast, some talk real slow. And everybody is a little bit different, just the way it is. But there is some things that we have to be cautious of. And one of those is when we're preaching, we are using words. When you and I are speaking to people, we're using words. Whether it's from this pulpit or you're talking to a friend, you're using words. And so those words and their usage becomes paramount. Listen to what the Proverbs says. Chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Talk about power. It's in the tongue. Words are very important. In chapter 25, verse 11, it says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. I appreciate the years that I knew Brother Al Wells. And one of the things I learned from Brother Al was that words make a difference. And he was a student of words. Now, he was not necessarily what we call a brainiac, but he did study words. And he find out what they meant, find out where they came from, and that he might use them properly and correctly. And when you use words, you got to know a few other things. All people have different perceptions. Everybody has a different perception. There's a book on that stand right there. What do you see? You see the back binding, don't you not? If you're sitting right over here, what are you seeing? You're seeing the pages and the binding on both sides. Isn't that true? I'm seeing the long edge and the pages that are there. We see things differently. We hear things differently sometimes than what is intended. And so it becomes somewhat problematic. I believe Jesus used parables to help people to understand. And even with that, he said not everybody would understand it. Here's a truth we need to understand when it comes to delivering the message of God, and that is Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And I believe that it means that he can distort words in various ways. Have you ever heard somebody say something, but that isn't what they said? But that's what you heard? Sometimes it can be downright hilarious what you hear and what they actually meant or said. And I think that he is one who distorts that, especially when it comes to our speaking for him. He's the prince of the power of the air. So what's the manner of our preaching? Well, it's a desire to see changes in lives. And it's not so much how we do it, but the fact that we have a great love for those for whom we are giving the message. That's what I see in these verses here. Because you are dear unto us. He wanted to see some marvelous things take place in their life. And it's exciting to see that. One of my biggest blessings in the last 5 or 6 weeks has been some teenagers. I've heard from some personally and some otherwise, and one of the things I've heard them say is, I can't wait to get back to church. Teenagers. What a blessing. Amen. And praise God for that. Now, perhaps it's to see their friends. I don't think it's come to see me so much, but it means something to them. Praise God for that. Well, I want to deal with one other thing, and I believe it's very important. It's the motive of preaching. We've kind of dealt with it, but the why of preaching, it's very important. Why did one stand in a pulpit and preach? I believe this kind of preaching sometimes becomes very prominent in their life or gives them that feeling of prominence in their life. And somehow they feel like they are really up on top of it all. Do we realize something today? The law of our land is called the United States Constitution. By the way, if you're going to follow government and follow their dictates of government, it is to follow the Constitution. That's the highest authority of our government. And in that document, it tells us how the different peoples are to operate under it. Is that not true? It tells them how they are to do it. And the same thing true, I believe, when it comes to the Word of God. We are told by God how to do it. And it's His Bible that is the great thing that we're trying to get across to others. We're trying to get the idea that, hey, I've got a message that is so important, and your soul is so important that it must be preached. What's the motive? It's never to beat people up. Though the Spirit of God may bring deep conviction, and that does happen, but it's to build people. When we built this auditorium, it was pretty close to being finished. I had ordered the people with the carpet to come in. I believe on Monday, we wanted to hang the lights up there, and you that were here, you remember the old fluorescent lights that were up there. And we had the overlayment on the floor to put down, and a number of things that was involved. And so I had this bright idea that we could do a 24-hour work marathon. Not everybody for 24 hours, but different times come in and do those things that were needed to be done, that we might be able to have the carpet laid and get into our new auditorium. Rather than build on what they did, I beat them up with what didn't get done. It's so easy to look at what doesn't get done. It's so easy to look and see who's absent rather than who's present. It's so easy to do. Our focus is on the good tidings. It's for the purpose of building people. And so when you and I are speaking to people about Christ, it's not to put them down. I've heard people witnessing the others basically tell them, hey, man, you're going to hell, and they sound like they were happy about it. It'll break our hearts. And so what's the motive? Because we have a deep love for those with whom or to whom we speak. That's why we do it. And our focus then is not on ourselves, as I did that day. I'll tell you what, I really believe that if I had not come back that night and realized what I had done and apologized to my church, I might have lost a bunch. It was plain wrong of me. And oh, how we need to focus on building in lives. Now, sometimes when you're building, you've got to tear a few things away. But whatever you tear away, you need to put back some good stuff. Amen. That's the way it works. Gary, he's a remodeler. And so that means you're going to tear some things apart. But you don't just tear it apart and walk off the job and say, hey, give me so much money. No, you tear it off and then you put back some really nice stuff and make it look really good and so forth. And he's built a great reputation by doing that. And that's what it is in this matter of speaking to others, that we might help them and build in their lives. So this job's not just mine. It's all of ours. The preaching of the cross is a powerful, wonderful tool. And so when you and I will take the message of God, that is the truth that they must hear, their faith might be built, that it might be started, and that it might build. And so Sunday after Sunday, day after day, week after week, sometimes we say much the same things over and over, trying to get that into the hearts and minds. How many parents have realized that you can tell your child something one time, you're probably going to have to tell them again? And again. By the way, some parents say, go pick up your room. The child looks at the room and says, I don't know where the handles are. They don't even know what it means. And you say, go clean up your room. And to them that means, oh, there's a piece of paper in there, I'll throw that away. And the clothes stay strung all over and so forth. And so what we got to train, we got to tell it over and over and over and help them with it. And so that'd be true in this pulpit, it'd be true in your life as a family, it'd be true when we're seeking to help people in the things of God. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you so much for a time together. Pray that you might bless and help us to understand the tremendous privilege as well as responsibility to speak forth the marvelous truths of God. Lord, I pray that you would, as Paul asked, that you would give us boldness and clarity, give us strength of heart and mind as we deal with others. Thank you for the wonderful good news. Bless, we pray, in the next few moments, we consider our missionaries. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.